We able to sleep after the first session? Okay, good. So we're back for more. Okay, so what was the main point that he made last time? One of the major themes that he develops in the at least in the first part of the Sefer is that you have to be honest with yourself and you have to be self-aware. And if a person is going to live on the top of the mountain and not realize that he's living dimyonos and being on top of the mountain, then he's never gonna come to recognize people who are truly on top of the mountain. He'll be mezalzel in the tzaddikim. He'll have an inflated sense of self. And the mashal that he gave is a person who falls asleep on the way up the mountain. When does he realize he's on the top of the mountain? And he comes down the other side. It's only when we humble ourselves and lower ourselves that a person comes to realize who he is and where he is and finds his place. Makiras makomo. He recognizes his place in the world. So since he's going to develop this idea about gaiva, he's going to emphasize it so much. I want to just read you something very interesting from the Smag. Okay, the Smag is the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, one of the Moneha Mitzvos, a different tzaddikim who, throughout the generations, put together a list of the 613, Sefer Achinuch, the Rambam. So the Smag, Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, is Rav Moshe Mikutzi in the 13th century, one of the Bali Tosfos. So in Mitzvah Lo Saaseh number 64, he writes the following. He says, one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, Hishamer lecha pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha. Be careful not to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? How does one come to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Smag writes, again, Mitzvah Lo Saaseh number 64, Azhara shelo yizga'u b'nei Yisrael. This is a warning, a mitzvah lo saaseh. We don't eat chametz, we don't do malacha on Shabbos, don't be a baal gaiva. Isra daraisa, one of the 613, amazing. Rambam doesn't count it, Sefer Achinuch doesn't count it. But when a person has an inflated sense of self, so then what does he do? He starts to forget about Hashem. He starts to think that he's his own independent thing, he doesn't need Hashem in his life. How did the Smag figure this out? How did the Smag come to understand that there is in fact such a low sasei? So he tells a story. He goes through, he brings many sources in Chazal and in Psukim that talk about the severity of being a Baal Gaiva. And then he says at the end, in the last paragraph, he says, Tochas ha'anava derashti l'rabim kach. I give a lot of musr to people about the importance of being humble. Aval l'chabra alav zeh, but to count it as one of the 613 mitzvos, he said, that I never thought of. Lo hayadati. I never would have thought to include it. We see that he does include it. So how did he change his mind? Gam Rabbeinu Moshe lo chibru. The Rambam didn't write it. I didn't think that it was, you know, again, it's certainly a Torah value, but I didn't think it was one of the 613 in a real mitzvah 613 kind of way. Ukeshigati lahashlim ad kan halavin. He said, when I started to finish the Sefer, I was putting the finishing touches on my Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, all of a sudden, Ekron b'chalom b'maris halayla, had a dream. This is Smag's writing in the 13th century, 1200s. He wrote the Sefer in 1250, I think. It wasn't published until a couple hundred years later. So he says, I had a dream. Hinei shachachta es ha'ikar. You missed the 613. You put together the whole Torah, but you missed the main thing. Hishamer lecha pentishkach es Hashem. Be careful, Hishamer lecha, be careful not to forget Hashem. So I woke up in the morning, I thought about it. I realized this is a major principle, and I started to think, but is it really a mitzvah? Do we have a source in Chazal that it's a mitzvah? He said, I realize it's a Gemara in Sota. Mamasha, open Gemara in Mesechah Sota on Daf Hay. The Gemara says explicitly, Azhara legase ruach minayin. Where is there azhara? I think it even says minatora. Azhara lagasei ruach minatora minayin. Where is there a clear source, a prohibition of being a baal gaiva? What does the Gemara answer? V'ram levavcha v'shachachta Hashem Elokecha. You'll elevate your heart and you'll come to forget about Hashem. You'll think you're your own thing. You won't realize that every bit of life that you have is pumped into you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, so I reworked the mitzvos, and I counted this as one of the 613. This, by the way, answers a famous question. why are midos not counted in the Torah? Why does Torah not speak about midos? There's so many parts of one's character that are not explicitly addressed by the Torah. So I once saw an explanation that if you understand that gaiva and humility is the essence of all midos, Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai, Moshe got the Torah mi Sinai, as the Kedushas Levi says, from the fact that he was humble like Har Sinai, that the fundamental principle of character development to become a Torah person is to have humility. No? Anyone in the building know more Torah than Rav Shechter? Anyone more humble than Rav Shechter? I'm saying it's like it becomes obvious that they go hand in hand. That when a person carries himself with unbelievable humility, you become a Kli, as the Gemara says in Tanis Dav Zayin, that just like water flows down, Torah is compared to water, so the more you lower yourself, you become a receptacle to receive Torah. Right? So the Svarim say, so if you count, according to the Smag, if you actually count, don't be a Baal Gaiva as one of the mitzvos, so that really encompasses all of one's character. All of the midos that a Jew needs to have in order to be a good Jew, are really, so we see, the Torah really does have a mitzvah of character development, alluded to through this prohibition of don't be a Baal Gaiva. Okay? So with that idea in mind, with an understanding that we might be talking about a real Isser Daraisa, same way you would never eat chametz on Pesach, or God forbid, be intimate with an Isha Nida, right? Or do malacha on Shabbos. So maybe it's just as serious not to be haughty. Okay, so let's see. Let's read inside. Os Dalet. Yosher Divrei Emes, Kuntres Rishon Os Dalet. Uve Emes, Lihidabik, Vashem Yisbarach, Al Yedei HaTorah VaHamitzvos. Tzarich Tuna'im Rabim. Now again, he's giving Musar to those people who think that they're tzaddikim. And he says, I have seen Tzaddikei Emes. I met the Maggid of Mezrich. My Rebbe is Michal Zlotcher. I know what a real tzaddik looks like, and I know what people who walk around with an inflated sense of self look like. He said, in order to really learn Torah, there are so many prerequisites. And let's just be honest for a second about this list. Asher lizos anche doreinu afilu bali Torah gedolim. In our times, you have people who learn, and people who even know a nice amount of Torah, but they don't even come close to fulfilling the conditions that Chazal spell out for a person who's truly acquired Torah. They turn a blind eye. They don't pay attention to the prerequisites of Torah, which means that their Torah is entirely lo lishma, and maybe God forbid, even worthless in a certain sense. And they think, oh yeah, automatically, yeah, I have those prerequisites. I've met the requirements of Torah, but they've never worked on it. And these tzaddikim worked on it. They think they're big Baalei Torah. And because of that, they come to ridicule the true tzaddikim. But if they would just take the words of Pirkei Avos seriously, Parakinyan Torah, right, the Braisa that's appended to Pirkei Avos, the sixth parak, if they would just read the list and then ask, do I have any of these things? You haven't even met one of the preconditions of true Torah. Immediately they would change their ways, they would repent. And they would begin to seek, you know what? I'm a big phony. I need to find out what real Torah is. So what are some of the conditions? Let's There are many conditions. Kinyan Torah. He's talking about the Mishnah in Avos, the Brayis in Avos, Kinyan Torah. There are many preconditions, many expectations. The first thing to being a true tzaddik is what? Lios mufshat mitayvos hazman b'machal u'mishta v'sheina v'zivug. To be freed from the fleeting pleasures of this world. Namely, food, drink, sleep, sexual desires. Right? So ask yourself, ask ourselves. And people who claim to be big people, if you still get a geschmack out of the cholent, if you still get excited about the cholent, if you ever take the Danish that you don't really need, but you eat it just because it tastes good, so then you're not an amistic person. If you enjoy a good schluff, if you're not living your whole life robbing your eyes of sleep, v'zivug, if a person has not reached the levels that the Gemara describes of the Tanayim, who literally being intimate with their wives was hard for them because it was they felt it was a yichud with anyone other than Hashem. Again, these are lofty madrigas. But again, this is what tzaddikim look like. So a person who loves gashmias, I also love Torah, but I love gashmias also. Then you're not anything. L'shbur kochas hagufanios. If you haven't broken the body, if you're still interested in the pleasures of the body, if you're not repulsed by the thought of eating, of drinking, of sleeping, of intimacy, if those things don't gross you out, if those seem geschmack, right, then there's a part of yourself that's not even close to the madrigas of the tzaddikim. Achafilu be'ez hamuchach ledvar maniskar mle'el. Obviously, Hashem made us that we need these things. You need to eat. People, husbands and wives, need to be together to procreate. It's a mitzvah. Of course, that's all true. But if you do it with any sense of my own desire, machvas godel hislavas libo letorah lavodas Hashem yizbarach, if you're not doing it out of necessity, because all of my passion is given over to Torah, l'man shemo ba'ava, lo yechashev elav atanago l'mhaza sh'osu adavar, k'momim odom sameach b'masa u'matan sh'erviach, eno margish klal b'tanu katan sh'elachila. He gives the following mashal. He says, okay, imagine the following scenario, yeah? So imagine that someone walks in right now and says, who wants free ice cream? Okay, I happen to be fleishiks right now. So I'm disappointed. Shoot, I missed out on the free ice cream. Right? I imagine if someone came outside of the Gluck based Medrash, the Bali Tower, people who learn, and people who were coming out after Night Seder, and someone said, you know, I'm sponsoring, it's a hot summer evening, free ice cream. Right? I imagine a lot of people would take it. I don't need it, but, you know, why not? Why not? So now, imagine for a second, yeah? Imagine for a second there were two stands. There were two stands. One guy giving out ice cream, and another guy giving out $1 million checks. Right? So someone's like, geschmack, ice cream, clown. Someone's giving out $1 million checks to anyone who steps up. Right? Ice cream literally means nothing to me right now. So that's what he's saying. He says, if a person makes a tremendous sum of money, right? Kamo im adam sameach b'masu matan sherviach. A person just won the lottery. We'll make an extreme example. Yeah, he's so successful in his business. Eino margish klal b'tainu katan shel achila. Right? He comes home from work and his wife says to him, what did you have for lunch today? What did I have for lunch today? I closed on a $10 million building. I have no idea what I had for lunch today. I don't even remember what I had for lunch today. Because the simcha I have of my success completely overshadows the fact, okay, so I had a good roll of sushi today? Who cares? It's literally batal umavuta. So by a tzaddik, the pleasure of dveikus, the pleasure of simchas Torah and ha-mitzvah, of a simchas ha-chaim of avodas Hashem, is so strong that the most basic enjoyable pleasures means nothing to true tzaddikim. And that's what Pirkei Avos is telling us. The person who truly has Torah is able to completely limit those things, and it's not mesiras nefesh. It's not, okay, I'm gonna work on controlling my taivas achila, so I'm gonna say no, I'm not going to eat something. I don't have to take it just because it's there. I once read a quote. I don't remember the exact nusach, but it's something like, there's no one as strong as a person who can take a single, you know, let's say there's like a bowl of peanuts, who can take a single peanut from the bowl and then stop eating, you know? Imagine like opening up a new, you know, container of Pringles and proving that once you pop, you can stop. That's very chashuv. I take one Pringle. Anyone ever take one Pringle? A bowl of candy, a bowl of jelly beans. You took one jelly bean. It's good. Have a con.
Piece of popcorn.
Right, one piece of popcorn. Come on.
Vissel's
echid. Vissel's echid. Yeah. So I might be able to say, okay, I want to work on self-restraint. So I might make a cheshbon to sit there. I'm not going to eat. And by the way, it could be the silliest thing in the world, and it's hard. If everyone else is enjoying. And your mind is going crazy. Like, okay, what's the big deal? Like, why did I take this upon myself? Is it really so bad to eat licorice? Is that like the worst thing in the world? Right? But it's actually hard because the second you decide you're not going to do something, it's hard. It's just trying to get you to not uphold whatever standard you're setting for yourself. It could be a small thing. So for the tzaddikim, it's not, miut tanug is not, okay, I'm going to eat less, I'm going to sleep less. It's just, I'm going to increase my love of Hashem so strongly that all those things just start to drop in significance till the point that they become repulsive to a person. Eating's annoying. It's bothersome. You read stories about how the Chazan Ish, the family had to remind him over and over again, like, don't forget to eat. They would put food in front of him and he would just forget about it. He, like, wasn't... He's just sitting there with his Gemara Erevin, you know? Like, eating? Yeah, you still have a body. You need to eat. Okay, fine, I'll eat. Forced himself to eat a little something. But it wasn't, like, it wasn't a struggle. It wasn't, I'm going to push myself to learn instead of, you know, wasting time on pleasures of this world. V'zeh b'miut tanuk. So it says the Yoshua Devar Amos. That's what it means. And it says, in the list of the Kinyanei Torah, miut tanuk, to have less pleasure. V'einu omer b'ma'at tanuk. It doesn't say ma'at tanuk, which is how we often translate it, a little bit of pleasure. It says miut tanuk. Shrinking the pleasure. What does that mean? Rak b'miut. Ki l'ma'it ein tzarech lomar. The fact that you're not supposed to spend your life indulging in physicality, that's not a chiddush. Right? Of course, we should always strive to have less gashmius and more ruchnius in our life. That's obvious. For a true tzaddik, for a person who learns Torah lishma, which is what Chazal is describing here, when he's forced to eat, it should be with the minimal amount of pleasure. Rabbi Nachman, it says in the Sichas Aran, it says in the Shivchei Aran at the beginning, it says Rabbi Nachman, in order to decrease the pleasure, he knew he had to eat, but in order to decrease the pleasure of his eating, he used to just like swallow things hardly with chewing. Now again, Rabbi Nachman later said it was dangerous, it was harmful to himself, and certainly B'derech HaChassidus, there's a very legitimate strand of Hasidic thought that could say that. What do you mean? Eating is a holy thing. And the intimacy of a husband and wife is a holy thing. And there's a way to mekadesh all of physicality. Maybe that's the highest level. That's the dira b'tachtonim. Okay, but the Yoshua Devar Amos is using the more ascetic approach of no gashmus. If you're davak and Hashem, then you're not interested in ice cream. Miut tanug means that even the things that my body forces me to do because I'm human, because I'm not an angel, I have to eat, I have to sleep, but I should try to limit the pleasure as much as possible. That's what the tzaddikim do. Dahainu sheyarbe tanug v'chashkus dveikus elukus b'libo al yedei Torah, to fall in love and to attach yourself so deeply to Hashem through the love of Torah, ad sheyich bezeh kishraga b'tira, that it should be extinguished like a candle by day. Shraga b'tshraga means a lantern, a candle, a candelabra, a menorah. Shraga b'tira, it's a Gemara in Chulin. Shraga b'tira means a candle by day. It doesn't accomplish anything. You go outside on a bright sunny day and you strike a match. You're like, wow, look, I lit up the world. No, you didn't. The sun lit up the world. Your light's not adding anything. So the goal is that my love of Torah should be so chazak that what? My fulfillment in my life is so strong for my dveikus and Hashem that everything else is completely overshadowed. So again, for a person who doesn't have Torah, eating and drinking and sleeping and the intimacy of husbands and wives and all the pleasures of this world are very exciting, very enticing. But when a person is davuk to the chai ha-chaim, to clinging to Hashem, so then there's nothing to talk about. Everything else just disappears. And if a person experiences even a little bit of pleasure, it'll be like the Gemara uses such a phrase, like a pleasure that's being forced upon me. Totally unnatural. It's unnatural for me to do anything other than cling to Hashem. Ki adua hadin. The ikr is that a person should get to a point again where it becomes just natural, where it's not working on giving up the pleasure of this world, but that it becomes his status quo. And of course, we're not talking about a person who ever, God forbid, does of eros. We're talking about glatt kosher meat is no interest in him. A person who does of eros is certainly. Again, all of this is when a person has to and it's done in a mutter way. Right? And that's Tanai HaKatan, he says. That's the smallest of expectations to be on the path of true tzidkus. Okay? V'halavai shenochas be'efes katseu mimenu. And halavai we should be able to grab onto anything, even the far end. Kal v'chomer ha-tanoyim ha-muvu'arim b'mishnah. All the more so, some of the more demanding expectations in the Mishnah. Okay, now, however, this is not supposed to make us feel bad, but let's just read this list for a second. Right? Real Torah is what? Is done be'ema. Okay? Let's stop there for a second. Be'ema uv'yira. You scared when you walk into Shir? Scared? You scared to open up your Gemara because I'm about to learn God's Torah? Am I trembling with fear? They say by Rav Soloveitchik, you know, like in his fiercest years. They say mellowed out in the later years. But they say when Rav Soloveitchik, like in the earlier years, as a Rebbe, people were mamash shaking. But that was, they were scared of the Rav, because the Rav was super intense. Right? But aim over here. Can you sit by yourself and open up a Gemara? You're schwitzing because you're so nervous. What if I don't say the MS in this Mishnah? Never in my life. Anyone? You ever scared? You ever so scared of Torah? Okay, fine. Maybe like the first time, like, you know, you picked up like a Zohar and you like peeked inside, you know, just to see like what it is. See if like lightning bolts shoot out. Make sure no one sees you like trying to peek into such a book, you know. But okay, maybe. But even there, be'ema uv'yira, ba'anava uv'simcha. Do we have true, can we say we have true simcha? Do I feel truly humbled by the Torah? Ein omegis libo, without any gaiva in my heart? Kimiza pesi, says the Yosha Devi Yemes, who is foolish enough, shiomar b'liwa, that he could say about himself, sheyesh lo eima be'es limuda? Is there anyone in the world, except for that elite group of tzaddikim, who are the true tzaddikim, who mamish, they tell stories about, you know, literally fainting out of fear of saying the wrong pshat in a Gemara? We don't care, we say whatever we want. You know, it's emes, not so emesdik, I get it. Heichen hu emaso pachda. Where is our emes? Lifnei mi u'mifnei mahu apacha. What are we scared of? Does our heart race on Yom Kippur and on Rosh Hashanah the way it races when we see those lights flashing when we're driving on the highway and the cop pulls up behind us? As he drives by to pull over someone else, and your heart is still racing. Can I get my heart up to that speed on Rosh Hashanah? By Nisanas Tokef Kedushas Hayom? Mi Yechia Mi Yamus? So who are we kidding? We're not tzaddikim. V'alzeh apapeinu yizlu mayim. We should cry over the fact. V'roseinu ha-mishnah. We read such a mishnah, and we realize, wow. Eich anu rechokim ma'od min ha-emes. Kegvoh ha-shamayim al-aretz v'yos v'yos. We are so far. Now again, we have to. If we can't be healthy about the Sefer, then we're going to have to stop learning the Sefer. Because we can't let the Sefer make us depressed. That's not the goal. But it can give us a healthy sense of knowing our place. That when you're walking down the street and you see Rav Schechter walk by, or you see any of our Rosh Yeshiva walk by, your heart should show. That's a person who has a lot of Torah. Who am I kidding? I don't know anything. Okay, I know how to read the Gemara. I drop better than my chavrus. Okay. But what do I know? I don't have aim. I don't have year. I don't have true anava. Have I ever experienced simcha when I'm learning Torah? Okay, I had a little simcha. Shana Aleph, Simcha's Torah. It was Shmak and Yeshiva. Okay, I could say that I really rejoiced with the Torah for a couple of seconds. Do I have real simcha, a real simcha every time I sit down to learn? So he says we should be crying over this if we're honest. Why can't we admit the truth? Why do we pretend like we're so close with Hashem? We don't think about Hashem nearly enough. We're more worried about getting a good grade on our test than we are about actually, you know, mastering Bava Kama. And how humbled we should be before everyone. Literally like a blade of grass, when we see our own chesronos. Chut mikama avonos upasham lanu, and how many averos we have. So how do we allow ourselves to walk around thinking that we're the king of the world? Shal zeh nemar v'larasha amr elokim malacha lesaper chuki v'tisa brisi alai picha. Hashem says to the Rasha, who are you to learn my Torah? What right do you have to learn Torah? You have no respect for my Torah. You think it's a way to look stark, to look from, to get a good shidduch? You're using my Torah as a tool for your own pleasure. What kind of way is that to learn Torah? She Torah seinu nim eses, that the Torah is embarrassed of you, chas v'shalom. Bifnei Hashem yisbarach, ve'ein laharech b'zeh ki hu yadu alakol. We all owe an apology to the Torah, and that's why Chazal say that a voice comes out, a baskel comes out every day from Har Sinai and says, "Oy lahem lebrios me'albona shel Torah." We all owe the Torah an apology. Woe to people for the disgrace of Torah. We all owe the Torah a big I'm sorry. There are many times where I didn't treat with respect. I made fun of a halacha the first time I learned it. That's ridiculous. People actually do that? Nah, no one actually does that. Until you find out, like, that's what Jews actually do. You know? Okay, so you never heard of it because of your upbringing. But that's like regular Judaism. So who are you to poke fun at the Torah, making fun of the Torah? Or you see someone who actually learns Torah, you know, lishma. You see a guy like really getting into like a Mishnah and Maseches Arla. And you're like, yo, chill out, buddy. Like, relax. Just relax. Calm down. It's like, it's not even halach. It's like, what are you talking about? It's not even lemaisa. Like, what are you... You're jumping out, you're screaming at your chavrusa about a case that's like totally not no gaya to your life. Like, just relax, you know? Okay, you can learn, but like, no, like, he's feeling dveikus by Hashem. You relax, you know? Who are you to criticize such a person? We do it all the time. We're so quick to pass judgment on people and to pass judgment on Torah ideas, right? And we should really be depressed and crying over the fact, he says, that we're very, very far from Hashem. We need to know, we need to be put in our place. Okay? Let's do Osei. Uklalo shel davar. The bottom line is, Ikur b'yasa olam hayi b'shvil Yisrael. We have to remind ourselves that, of course, the world was created on behalf of Klal Yisrael. We were the original intention of the world. Which means, in terms of our potential, it's gavaldik. Bereshis, as Rashi says, b'shvil Yisrael, b'shvil Torah. The Jewish people are called Reshis, right? Bereshis, b'shvil Yisrael, shnikur Reshis, u'b'shvil Torah, shnikur Reshis. So we're supposed to align ourselves. Hashem made a shidduch between us and the Torah. But we have to be a worthy kala for the chasam. Sheratz alomer she Yisrael yizdam ku as atzum ba Hashem yizbarach al yedei Torah. Torah gives us this awesome opportunity to cling to Hashem. Shezeh hayar ritzon Hashem yizbarach v'tanug shalah. And that's Hashem's greatest desire. Hashem gave us the Torah as a means of attaching ourselves to Him. Sheyibaru ha'olamos. That's why the worlds were created. Uvesocham v'ikaram hanose es kulam hu ish ha'Yisraeli. This is a gavaldic piece. Osei is a gavaldic piece. Right? Beautiful description. Hashem gave the Torah as a way of us to connect to Him, and that's the purpose of all the worlds. Right? The nose is the purpose of it all. The thing that upholds it all, that keeps it together, is when a Jew is the way he's supposed to be. Ish ha'Yisraeli. Shemizdavik Hashem Yisbarach al Yedei Torah, v'nimtza nishmas Yisrael nishtal shel miratzon Hashem Yisbarach, and our neshama comes from the loftiest of places, from the innermost desire of Hashem for our existence. Hashem wants a Torah; it's an expression of His essence, and Hashem wants a Klal Yisrael. We're supposed to be an expression of His essence. Hanikra v'svarim mocha da'aba. That's what we call. It's found in Kabbalistic svarim. This is the idea of mocha. Mocha da'aba literally means the brain of the father. If you learned a little bit of Tanya at the beginning of the Tanya, it describes, right, how even though when the child, of course, is when the woman's becoming pregnant from her husband, so obviously if the zera comes from the bris milah, but the idea found in Pnimius is that the starting point of the child is in the brain. The child comes from the father's brain. Now the truth is, there's a biological reality, right? Because when a man desires to be with a woman, right? So that will the brain will generate a certain emotional response, which will in turn create a biological response, which will trigger the body to produce the seed, which will actually then be mashpia to the wife, his wife, the makabel, and produce a child. So in a certain sense, in a very literal scientific sense, the child begins in the mind of the father. So if we're banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, my mind is the essence of me. If my thoughts define me, as the Baal Shem Tov taught, the Tzaddik Yaakov Yosef brings from the Baal Shem Tov, the place where your mind is, that's where you are. What you're thinking about, that defines who you are. That's the type of person you are. So if we come from Mocha Da'aba, whatever that means Kabbalistically, if we come from Hashem's Ratzon, Hashem's innermost desire, Hashem's innermost mind and will, that means we come from the highest place. Shiratzaloma Ratzon Avinu. We come from the Ratzon of Hashem. And what happens when we come down to this world is that we start to separate and we start to get caught up in all sorts of things. And we're not being true to that original desire. We lose sight of Hashem, and we lose sight of our desire. Those things are one and the same. Let me explain. What did it say in this past week's parsha? When you bring the Bikurim, what do you say? Arami Oved Avi. Vayered Mitzrayim. Like we have in the Haggadah. An Aramean Oved Avi. An Aramean tried to destroy our father. Who's the Aramean? Lavan. Who did he try to destroy? Yaakov Avinu. Okay? Arami Oved Avi. But if you look in the Ma'or of Hashemesh, in the Ma'or of Hashemesh says in this past week's parsha, Av, the word Av, Aleph Beis, can mean Ratzon. Many examples of that in Tanakh, where the Shorish, right, where Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael that Lo Ava, you didn't want to follow the mitzvah Hashem. Right? We have it in one of the Shir Shalyom, one of the mornings. Like, I'm not going to pull out the pasuk now. What do we say? I don't know. But Ava, Aleph Beis, Hey, that Shoresh sometimes means to want. So the Mor v'Shemesh says, Arami Oved Avi, means that what? That Lavan tried to destroy our Ratzon. Tried to destroy the Av, the Ratzon of a Jew. What we're learning here is that what? Mocha the Abba, Av, meaning father, the essence of the father as transmitted to the son comes from what? Comes from his innermost Ratzon. So it makes a lot of sense that the word Av means both father and desire. Right? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, our father, Avinu Shevashamayim's innermost will that we should be a representation of him in this world. That is a massive achrayas. And we get lost. We get totally lost. The Sivas Shalom brings in the past week's parsha. He brings a mashal from earlier tzaddikim, from Slanim. He says, imagine a prince who got kidnapped from the palace. And he totally loses sight of what it means to be a prince. Ends up becoming a real lowlife. And finally, the circumstances are, whatever it may be, that he wants to return to his father, the king. And he comes before his father, the king. See, Hashem used this to explain the shofar. Comes before his father, the king, right? And his father, you know, will make the king have like a nice British accent, yeah? Father, the king, you know, this fellow shows up before him. The guy's wearing jeans, backwards baseball cap. He's got some nice tattoos, yeah? And he, you know, and the king says, you know, what can I do for you? Doesn't even know who this guy is. Clearly doesn't know the proper way to come before the king, but based on the way he's dressed. But the king in his rahmanis says, what can I do for you? And he's like, yo, what's up, my king? He's like, I don't even understand the words you're saying. I literally don't even know what you're saying. Right? And this kid realizes, he knows he's a prince. He remembers that he was a prince. And he's trying to connect to his father, but they're worlds apart. So what does he start to do? If he's honest enough and he realizes how far he's strayed from nobility, he just sits there and he starts to cry. And the hope is he realizes that if I start to cry, my words are so coarse, are so unrefined. The king has no, literally doesn't understand, you know, my gang language that I picked up down by the train tracks. Kings are a refined human being. Doesn't know what I'm saying. But when he sits down and he starts to cry, maybe the king will recognize my voice. I remember this cry. This cry, the way that you're crying, it reminds me of how my child cried. You're my child. Oh my gosh, what happened to you? So the Nezivah Shalom says that's what the call of the shofar is. The cry of the shofar is we don't even know what to say to your Rosh Hashanah. This was like a failed experiment. You know, we're gonna be your representatives in this world. We are far from it. Both in terms of Sor Meira and Aseh Tov. We're not living up to it. But you know what? If we sit down and cry on Rosh Hashanah, or if the shofar becomes that vehicle of tefillah, that cry of a Jew, then all of a sudden Hashem starts to recognize us again. So here we have this image that he's painting for us. Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to be the tachlis of the Bria. Again, V'nimtza nishmas Yisrael nishtal shal miratzon Hashem Yisbarach. We come from Mocha de Abba. Ratzalomar ratzon Avinu. We come from what? From Avinu. Avinu itself is a lashon of Av, means to ratzon, the desire of something. And Arami Oved Avi. This world is one big world of Arami. The same letters as Ramai. Ramai means what? Deception, confusion. An Alma de Shikra, a dark and confusing world. Uva derech kama tzimtzumim ad ridita l'olam ha-shafel beguf. Until finally, your neshama, which is literally a piece, if you could say such a thing, of God, gets thrown down into a body. a body that likes eating and likes sleeping, right, and likes all sorts of taivas olam haza. And now all of a sudden, a Jew is trying to somehow extract that neshama from within the body, within the world. V'safir ha'aviyona. V'safir ha'aviyona. Right, that the caper bush should be able, safir, like pruravu, should be fruitful. The aviyona means the caper bush. That the caper bush should what? V'safir, should sprout again. Yeah? Taivas hazman. V'lo yis'aver rak la'ashem yizbarach. Az yesh la'ashem yizbarach tano. The greatest pleasure we can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu is when we remember who we are. When we understand, I know who my Father is, and I know what I'm supposed to do in this world, and your Ratzon is my Ratzon. Batel Ratzoncha Mepnei Ratzono, like it says in Pirkei Avos. That's the greatest pleasure we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live up to being princes of Hashem. That's the greatest pleasure in the world. But if you're going to be busy with all sorts of pleasures of this world, if you're more scared of the cop whose lights are on behind your car than Hashem, if you're more in love with sports than you are with Torah, right? If you're more excited about going out to your favorite restaurant than coming to shul to daven mincha, then it's going to be very hard to live up to what we're supposed to live up to. So look at this mashal. And this is one of my favorite pieces in the Sefer. We'll do one more paragraph. Kamo mashal ha'avim. And this is a beautiful mashal. If you take this mashal with you, you can actually use this mashal in your avodas Hashem to connect yourself to Hashem. When you feel like I'm so stupid, like I'm grappling between like, should I go to night seder or should I watch, you know, or should I watch a football game? And it's a real struggle. I'm not making light of it. Right? But there should be a part of ourselves that says that's ridiculous. One is Netzach Nitzachim, and one is a bunch of stupid grown men beating each other up. Right? So I understand, yeah, we get the geschmack. We've all enjoyed it. Right? But I have to grow up at some point. I have to put down the baby toys and pick up the truth of life. You know, I gotta graduate from preschool. Kamo mashal ha'aveim. Imagine a father and a mother. Sheyesh lam tanug mibneihem, who get so much pleasure from their children. And it's true. We have to think also along the lines of the Kedushas Levi. The way the Berditcher describes, how when a Jew does the simplest thing, okay, we might be babies, but the same way when a baby crawls, the parents are like, yeah, it's amazing, right? It's so amazing. You know, impress me, get into Harvard or something, then we could talk, you know? But the kid like, wow, you drank from a cup without spilling and it didn't even have a cover on it. But the parents are so proud that the child is growing, is maturing, is being more human and less animalistic. So it's the same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. A mashal of a father and a mother who get tremendous pleasure from their children. When a parent, again, had an idea, mother and father said, we have an idea, we want to have a child. The mother are intimate with each other, and the mother is pregnant, and the child is born. And the parents get so much nachas from this baby who does nothing but nursing and using the bathroom and sleeping. Right? But the parents see the potential of their child, and they love their child. And they see themselves within the child. When they hold that child in their arms, when I come home from work and my son, I hear the pitter-patter of little Yaakov's footsteps racing to give me a hug, and he jumps into my arms. It's the greatest thing in the world. What I love if one day my son grows up to be a Talmud Chacham, he should finish Shas, he should be a Tzaddik. Yeah, great. Right? But I feel like, you know, Ke'ilah, I have everything. Hashem should bless us with more. But I feel like when that child comes running and smiles at a parent and jumps into the parent's arms, Nosim is a yell at Alzaro Seyim, when you take the child in your arms, it's the greatest simcha in the world. Yeshlem Tanu Gadol Kiviyach, right? Tanu Gadol, it's an unbelievable pleasure. We can do that for Hashem. When we jump into Hashem's arms, when we show that we want to jump into your arms, Hashem, and lock ourselves in your embrace, in your dveikus, what better words than to read these words before Rosh Hashanah? To show we want to cling to you, Hashem. And I want to be wildly in love with you, Hashem. And I want to have the deepest respect for you. I would never make fun of Torah. I would never make fun of someone who's trying to live a Torah lifestyle. I would never call him nerdy. Right? He's like a nerdy Beis Medrash guy. I would never let those words come out of my mouth. He's cool. He's cool because he learns Torah. He's a cool guy because he learns Torah. You know the Meisa? Reb Lezer Geldzahler. Anyone ever hear of Reb Lezer Geldzahler? It's a great book. You should read the book. Reb Lezer, it's called. Reb Lezer Geldzahler was a very special Jew who died, unfortunately, in a very tragic way a number of years ago. They put out a biography. Targum Press, I think, put out a biography. It's called Reb Lezer. He was an amazing Jew. He was a Hasidish Yid. Totally God. Thank you for that. Now we have a model of what we're learning. That's what we needed. Someone to display it. Someone to live it for us. Thank you, Rabbi. So Reb Lezer Geldzahler was amazing. Amazing mechanech. Amazing person. So he had a very interesting yeshiva. A Hasidish yeshiva called Or Yisrael. So Reb Lezer one time, he saw that some of the bachurim in yeshiva started getting busy with all sorts of, you know, they got very into their clothing. You see this sometimes, yeshiva bachurim. You know, they're very busy with, they wear the tzur of yeshiva bachur, white shirt and black pants, but they find other ways to express their individuality.
Now they have colored socks.
Colored socks is the big thing, right? Right, it's a big thing. I always thought the pshat with the colored socks is because it's the ikev of the Mashiach. It's very colorful. It's a whole. I was trying to express themselves. I was thinking, why dafka the socks? Yeah.
They let them wear
whatever, the crazy socks.
After about a week, the Mashiach came over to me and said,
what's with the socks? There you go. There's the Mashiach. We're trying to find our self-expression. Right? So you see these Yeshiva Bachur. It's got the cool belt, the logo on it, you know. He's got very busy with the glasses, very, very, you know. So Reb Lezer Geldzahler once saw these Bachur were trying to be cool. Right? Well, I said they weren't so cool. But they had they start with the shoes and the belt and the whatever they could get away with in Yeshiva trying to express themselves, trying to be cool. So Reb Lezer said to them, he called them into his office. He said, Bachram, I see that you're trying to be cool. He said, he's a chassidish man, Reb Lezer. He said, I see you're trying to be cool. So he said, who says cool is shoes and belts and glasses? Maybe Rabbi Akiva Eger's cool. Maybe learning a ketzos is cool. Maybe knowing tosos is cool. Okay, so the belt, so in Paris, that's not what's cool. You know, the designer belt is what's cool. But maybe we're cool. Maybe because we learn Torah, we're cool. You know, why are we embarrassed? Why do we walk around? Why aren't we jumping into Hashem's arms? Why aren't we giving Hashem the way that the little child, as the child gets older, so then he starts to get too cool for his parents. But he's a little kid. I don't want to be anywhere other than mommy and tati's arms, and mommy and daddy's arms. That's the only place I want to be in the world. So when we jump into Hashem's arms, ba'avaso v'yiraso, Shehem Nikro Zeroes Olam, which is referred to in the Tikkun Zohar as, so to speak, the arms of the world. That's the way that we embrace the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehu, and that's what the pasuk says in Hosea. V'anochi tergalti le'Ephraim kochim al zroosai. Hashem says, I want to raise you up. I want to nurture Ephraim and take him in my hands. Right, haben yachar li Ephraim. I want to just take a growing Jew, Ephraim, lashem puravu, sprouting, a sprouting Jew. A Jew is bettering himself, and he's giving up silliness of this world to be with Hashem. Now look at this. Here's the last image. This is the part of the mashal I love. Ukemo kishaben misachik b'mischake atinokos be'gozim v'kedoma. I'll give the modern example that I experience almost on a daily basis. I come home, my son Yaakov, he's 3.5 years old. He's sitting in the den, he's playing with his magnetiles, he's playing with his trucks, and he hears daddy open the door. Yeah? And he throws down his toys, which he loves. His favorite toys. But he throws them down when he recognizes my father's home. He comes running, he jumps into my arms. For him, it's the biggest simcha, and for me, it's the biggest simcha. Because Sheroes Aviv Makir, when he recognizes his father, he drops his silly toys, and he just wants to jump into his father should take him in his arms. And he picks up his child and he's hugging him and he's kissing him. So too, when a Jew says on Rosh Hashanah, this year I'm going to give up all this silly, all this narishkeit. I'm going to be the prince that you want me to be. If we run and we jump into Hashem's arms, so So then, just like the father who takes the child in his arms, does what? He kissed the child. He's kissing the child. That I want to be smothered in your kisses, Hashem. The dveikus, the ava, the yichud, the oneness with Hashem. That's the goal. The goal is to just grow up. And if we're going to be Balei Gaiva, and that's his point. I just understand the hemshech. If we're going to be Balei Gaiva, if we're going to be Balei Taiva, if we're going to be people who don't take that list in Pirkei Avos of the prerequisites of being Torah people, if we don't have humility, if we don't have respect for Torah, if we don't get a Simchas Achaim from Torah and from Mitzvot and Tefillah. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein said, I look forward from one davening to the next the same way that people who love a good meal, like, you know, are excited. Imagine a person has a person's not so wealthy, they can only afford to go to a certain fancy restaurant once a year. Husband and wife, they go out on their anniversary to this restaurant. Yeah? So when the days are coming up, they know later this week we're out to that restaurant. They're thinking about it all week. They're thinking about it. They're so excited. What should we order? They're checking out the menu online. What are we going to get? Yeah, they're setting aside money for it. They're so excited. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein said that the pleasure that a person gets when they order that geschmack steak, their favorite meal. Rav Chatzkel said, every time I open my siddur, I get that pleasure. Have we ever experienced that? And if not, then we have to have the humility to know that we're not yet amongst the tzaddikim. And we have to have the humility and the respect to attach ourselves to tzaddikei emes in order to learn. How do I do this? How do I jump into Hashem's arms? Ba'ava uviyira, to be taken in the arms of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be zocha to the neshikos of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so halavai, we should be zocha. Rosh Hashanah is the time for us to decide what toy are we going to give up in order to put down our toys to jump into a Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms. Okay, we should be zocha. We should be zocha. It's cool to learn Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's cool to learn Torah. We don't need to buy into what the world considers fun or cool or... Okay. Shkai Rabbi, thank you for sitting with us. Let us discuss.